Welcome to How Do I Get Your Job, a podcast by the UW Daily. This is a podcast where we are going to be conversing with professionals about their jobs and, you guessed it, how they got them. I'm Simon Wu.
And I'm Kate Connors.
Today we're talking to A.G. Lambert, who has worked as a product manager across a variety of IT companies during his professional career. First, thank you so much for being here. And to start us off, we'll have you introduce yourself. Tell us a bit about who you are, where you're from, and what work you're doing right now.
Great. Thank you, Simon. Very happy to join you today. My name is A.G. Lambert, and I am the Chief Product Strategy Officer for SAP Concur here in Bellevue, Washington. I'm from California. I grew up in Palo Alto and actually moved up to Washington for Concur about 11 years ago.
That's wonderful. Could you tell us exactly what you do for your job? What are your responsibilities and how does it differ from other IT management roles like program managing or product marketing?
Great question. So what I'm responsible for is I lead a team that is really looking at the market requirements and managing customer requirements to help prioritize what our engineering team should be working on. So what we do is we have a process to evaluate the business opportunities of new features, how important it is, how it fits with our strategy, which we develop of what do we believe is an opportunity to be differentiated over the next few years. And what are the, you know, we spend a lot of time talking to customers about what are their business problems and how can we solve. So we are a step removed from the day-to-day engineering. And maybe later in the podcast, we can talk about this, where we have product owners who work actually embedded in an engineering team. My team today is one step removed from that, really looking at more of the market requirements and prioritization and not building the individual use cases that software engineers actually build against. In terms of how we're different than program management is more about how do you keep the process moving. And our team, you know, there's some overlapping of roles sometimes because as a broader engineering team, you want to work together to achieve success in the projects you work on. And so sometimes people, you know, take different roles across the team. Engineers will say, what if we built it this way? What about this requirement? And vice versa. But broadly, program managers are more looking at once we've prioritized what we need to build, how do we get it done? And how do we bring together the different aspects of the engineering and technical team, user experience, designers, everybody, and keep everybody on track toward that broader goal and working more in those detailed features as they work through it.
Yeah. And I know you touched a bit on it briefly just now, but like, can you actually elaborate a bit more on like how these roles all intersect together and keep like a company moving? Because I think that's kind of an interesting insight that you can bring to us.
Sure. What my team is a largely the interface between the engineering organization and the rest of our sales team. So we build enterprise software. So we get a lot of feedback from direct salespeople who are out talking to customers, trying to understand their needs and convince them that we have the best solution to that. And so sometimes we'll get feedback from sales and, you know, we're losing because our competitors have this. Sometimes they bring us directly into a sales deal to, you know, help them with that opportunity. So we work a fair bit with sales. We also work with the marketing teams in terms of go-to-market and to some extent, market opportunity analysis. So our partners in the marketing team are thinking, where should we even be playing? Like, do we want to go after a large market in China? Do we want to go after SMB in the US? And how do we sort of look at those markets and close partnership with marketing to understand that? And also with marketing, as we're rolling the product out, we're the ones who came up with the strategy. And so then we sit down with marketing and we say, okay, how do we articulate this in a way that's super compelling and provides messaging that really helps people understand why our product is better and how it's solving problems? So that's sales, that's marketing. Another important constituent that we work with is the services organization. So again, we have enterprise software. For some of our smallest customers, we've built, you know, self-implementation tools so they can configure it on their own. But the vast majority of our customers need help and they engage with the services team sometimes ours who work at SAP and Concur, sometimes from a partner who's working deeply with the customer to help them configure the software and tailor it to their needs. And so again, a super important source of feedback. Like, you know, it is really hard to set up this area of the product. Isn't there something you could do to make it better? And so we get great feedback from them. And plus they need to be trained. And some of that will fall in program management, where like they know the software better than anybody else. But until the services teams are able to help the customers configure it, it doesn't really land for the customers. And then finally, to other roles within engineering, I end up working quite a bit with my engineering counterparts, the leaders in engineering, in terms of looking at how are we allocating resources and projects across the team. And that's somewhat of an executive level. But I think everybody on my team is working with their engineering and program management counterparts to help figure out, like, that is a really important thing that we could do, but it's super hard because we have to refactor this area of the code. And so maybe we don't do that now, even though we're saying that's our number one priority, we could get 2, 3, and 4 done first. And so a lot of partnership to actually how we get it built together in terms of working through those areas.
I actually want to take a few steps back and learn a little bit more about you. Like, where did you go to college? What did you major in? Where are you from? And how did that get you to where you are today?
So I have perhaps an unconventional background in some respects. And I think that's an important thing for folks to think about who are undergraduates now and thinking about, I've got to know exactly what I'm going to do with my life, because I certainly did not when I was an undergraduate. So I went to undergraduate to Washington University in St. Louis. And when I was there, I studied physics and English literature. And my mother was always a great proponent of a liberal education. Learn how to think and everything will follow. And I have to admit, and I do regret this sometimes looking back, I did not really think about what I was going to do when I got out of college. I was studying what I was interested in. I was interested in ideas. I was interested in science. And when I graduated, I had the opportunity to potentially stay in graduate school for physics, but I decided to go back home to California. And I actually ended up working in a family business that was focused on residential construction. So really using nothing that I'd studied in college other than, you know, how to read and write and do math. And so I ended up wanting to just work, like regular work. And I became a union apprentice as a carpenter, and I completed an apprenticeship in carpentry. And after 4 or 5 years, I was working for my father managing residential subdivisions. So the building of, you know, like a cul-de-sac and all the homes around it, coordinating all the subcontractors and all the people who were working on that site to get that done. And I ended up applying to business school to get an MBA. And I ended up applying and getting into UC Berkeley. And my application said that what I really want to do is learn about real estate finance. And I want to take what I've been doing in residential building and go into real estate finance. When I got to Berkeley, Berkeley has a strong technology focus, as does UW, and lots of connections to companies in Silicon Valley. And I suddenly was like, my gosh, I haven't had this much fun like thinking about technology since I was an undergrad studying physics. And I really love that. And so I had the good fortune to do an internship at Microsoft between my first and second year, actually as a program manager at Microsoft. And then when I graduated, I ended up going to a company in the Bay Area called Autodesk that does design software. And I'll be honest, it was a little bit hard because people were saying, so what did you do before your MBA? And I'm like, well, I was a carpenter and built residential subdivisions. And I was applying for technology marketing. It was tough. And Autodesk builds design software that is used by the majority of architects. And they were also interested in getting the software used farther downstream. How do we get builders to use the same software that the architects are using? And so I joined them in a marketing role, focusing on the architecture, engineering, and construction market, and using kind of my construction experience to help that. And so that was sort of how I got my foot in the door with technology. And backing up a little bit, going to Microsoft, the interesting thing is, I think the reason I got the internship was I happened to meet a hiring manager who said, wow, like all the complexity of building a residential subdivision, that sounds a lot like the complexity of putting together a software project. And I actually worked on an early version of Microsoft Publisher. But he hired me because of my project management skills that I gained in construction. And then I was able to apply those in program management. You know, at that time, though, I certainly was far away from where I am today. So if I look back over the years since Autodesk, I have gone back and forth between marketing jobs, where I'm like, how do we take this to market? And more product management jobs, where we're thinking about the direction of the product. And I think that's different than many people in product management. There's sort of two paths, but there are many paths to product management. Sometimes you come through expertise. We'll hire people into my team from like services teams. Like, I've been configuring this software for years. I know it inside and out. I know what the customers are trying to do. And that can be one path in. Another path is technical. People who started off as a software developer, they were coding and they're like, you know, I really want to get into like, how do we define what we're building as opposed to build it? My path was really more through marketing. So what does the market need and how do we apply our software to what they need? So that was kind of my path of going back and forth, and I could give you more detail on my career, but it was really getting that marketing job at Autodesk. Autodesk at that time was just a generic design platform, drafting platform, and they bought a company to make it specific to architecture and building. And I ended up becoming the product manager working with that company. And that's sort of how I got into product management. So that was a long answer, hopefully not too long.
No, it's perfect. And actually, I'm more interested to continue the story, actually. Do you want to talk a bit more about all of like the different, like, I guess, professional experiences you've had since then and how that's led you to the company you're at today?
So if you kind of move forward from that first, you know, the internship at Microsoft, the first job at Autodesk, I think there are a few things that were important to me. One was embracing change and opportunity. So I was part of a small group at Autodesk that was trying to figure out how do we tailor AutoCAD, which was our flagship, to the architecture industry. And then the company went out and bought a company that had already done that. They'd already built a product on top of AutoCAD. And some of the people in the group just panicked, like, oh my gosh, what are they doing? You know, they're taking our jobs. Whereas I kind of was like, I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm going to learn to work with these people. It was actually a company in New Hampshire. I ended up spending half my time in New Hampshire, half my time in California. And so I think one lesson I got there is change is opportunity. Don't be scared. Lean into it and it can work out. After I'd been at Autodesk about 5 years, you know, this was in the early days of the internet and things were like very hyped, kind of a little bit like they are now. Hopefully now is a little better because we crashed from that early bubble. And I left Autodesk to join a small company. I was like employee 89 of a venture-backed firm. We had an IPO. Things were great. And that company actually was a competitor of Concurs. And we were like head-to-head competitors. This is 20 years ago now. And I joined them as a product manager to build out a new area of the product, but then kind of broadened my scope to lead product management. And being a small company, product management at that company was everything from sitting down with the engineer to figure out how do we schedule the software, so program management, product management like my team does today in terms of what are the requirements, and product marketing of how do we go to market, what's the message, how do we talk to analysts about this. So it was everything, all of the above, because we are a small company and it was all combined. And that was a great experience. When we were acquired by a bigger company, they separated the roles and they said, are you going to go in marketing or are you going to go in product management? And I said, I'm going to go in product management. And so reporting to a chief technology officer at the company that acquired us really focused on both the program management and product management for the company that acquired us. And then I went to a different company that did a different type of software, more HR software for a couple of years. where, again, I flipped back into marketing. I got hired by a chief marketing officer. And so I had some product management responsibilities, but I also had marketing responsibilities. And then I left there to go to a complete startup where a friend of mine, a senior engineer at Autodesk, had started a company. And he's like, hey, can we do this together? And I'm like, yeah, let's do it. We did it for about a year and we ended up failing. We weren't able to raise a second round of capital and learned a lot from that. Failure is okay. And that's when I came to Concur. So that's, again, a long answer. And I could give you what's happened over the last 10 or 11 years at Concur, but that's sort of the path that I've taken.
You mentioned earlier that your work at Concur is mostly based on feedback. And I wanted to know what some of the best feedback you've ever gotten is. It doesn't technically have to relate to your job, but just the best feedback you've ever received.
Well, I think, you know, I mentioned how way back when at Autodesk, where people were worried about the change, I got feedback, don't worry about it. Just keep doing your job, keep your head down. You know, like try to solve the problems that the company is trying to solve. That was fantastic feedback, and I've used that throughout my career. I think other really great feedback that I've received is, one that's a little bit of a trite saying, but that I've learned working with sales is, and this is maybe more important in enterprise software, but I think it's true for any company, and it's a trite saying of nothing really happens until you sell something. And so, you know, as a product manager, you can come up with fantastic designs like, oh my gosh, this is the best solution. It's perfect. But if your salespeople can't sell it, if you can't convince a customer to pay money, then your idea doesn't meet the test of reality. And so, you know, this idea of nothing really happens until you sell something. And that could be online, like people start to adopt, or it could be a direct sales team like we have at Concur. But if you can't get people to actually buy your idea, it doesn't matter how great it sounds, how well you can talk about it. It doesn't matter. You've got to get it sold. And what that often means is you have to compromise. You have to say, you know, we have this perfect idea, but customers actually want something that's really, you know, it's only half of my idea, but that's what they want. And so you compromise and you revise your ideas to meet what people will actually buy. So that's a couple of different pieces of advice. So don't worry about the politics, focus on solving the problem. And then, you know, nothing really happens until you sell something. I could go on, there's more, but those are a couple of starters.
I think something I also was really interested in when you were describing your entire like story and path was about how you made a few different transitions from different companies at certain times. Could you talk a bit more about like your rationale when you decide it's time to make a change? Like, how do you know when it's the right time? What sorts of possible benefits or harms come with that decision? All of those sorts of things.
So that's a really interesting question. I'll come back to that. I think I said before that change is opportunity and change is also scary. So, you know, at Autodesk, I was convinced that the company was just missing the boat on what the internet could do. Plus, at that time, small companies were just exploding in terms of valuation, again, similar to now. And so I'm like, I got to go to a small company. I got to learn that. And I think that was a good move. I learned a lot going to a smaller company. I think that was important. Leaving its density, you know, I stayed after a company was acquired by a big, frankly, older software company. It was a company that actually owned mainframe software from the 70s. And nobody bought it anymore, but the customers that used it paid a lot every year. So they had plenty of cash and they were trying to figure out what to do. And that was okay for a couple of years. As I look back on my career, I'm like, I should have left earlier. And so I think that's one piece of advice. If you're in a spot where you feel, you know, this is easy, but I'm not going anywhere, it's time to move. And so I left there when they were taken over by a private equity firm that was really focused on cash flow and not on innovation. And I'm like, I'm out. Like, I'm a product person. If you don't want to invest in product, which they didn't, I'm out. And so that was, again, a good move. I learned a ton going to the HR company that I went to, probably the most difficult job I've had in my career, because it was run by a founder who had a very hands-on approach And he actually, you know, the person who hired me left about 6 to 9 months after. And he asked me to take over all of marketing, which I'd never done. I'd always been product. So I learned a lot about marketing. And leaving there to go to, you know, a startup, you know, some of that was I fell out of good graces with the founder of the company. And he's like, I'm done with you. You know, he was that type of person. He was kind of like, he's got his ideas. He's either for you or against you. And some of it was, you know, taking a chance. At that point, I was, you know, a little more than 15 years into my career. I had some experience. And so taking a chance on doing something that was a complete startup was great. You know, it was an opportunity to try something. I'd encourage people, like, working for a big company is great right out of school. But once you feel like you know what you're doing, go and try something. And if it fails, which this did, it's okay. Right? Nobody's going to hold it against you if you try something as a complete startup and you fail. And I left there because it failed, right? We couldn't raise money. And, you know, things came around with when I applied to Concur, they knew the company I'd been at 10 years before. And they're like, oh yeah, we remember that company, you know, and people that had been at the company I was at had gone to Concur before me and putting a good word, and that helped me. And then the interesting thing is I'm actually making a transition right now. So I am going to leave Concur and leave SAP to become a chief product officer at a sort of a mid-sized company, about a 300 million a year company. And I'm doing that again because I feel that I'm getting stagnant. SAP has owned Concur for about 7 years now. It's a great company, but it's too comfortable. And I feel like I need to take a risk and go to a company where I can help it grow, which, you know, as part of a 100,000 person company, I don't think I can do at SAP.
I think that's a really great sentiment. I wanted to ask you if you had any pieces of advice for students who are struggling with their career path, maybe especially within the software industry, which is becoming even more competitive. And how would you possibly land an internship with a company like Concur, maybe as a product manager?
So the first thing I would say is don't lose faith. Things can be hard, getting your foot in the door. Again, like when I was applying, when I was at Berkeley, so when I finally decided I wanted to focus on my career and get into this industry, same thing. All of my classmates had lined up jobs, you know, about this time, you know, that by December, January, maybe a few were into March, they had their jobs lined up and they were like, okay, I'm going to start in September because I'm going to take the summer off and I'm going to travel the world. I didn't have a job. I didn't get a job until August with Autodesk. And so while my friends were traveling the world, I was still sending out resumes and trying to get interviews. So that would be one thing of advice. It's hard. Don't give up. If you get rejected 100 times, it's okay. The other thing I would say is focus on people that know you and can introduce you in some way. And, you know, this is a discussion I've had with my son who's at UW. He's like, I just got to send out resumes to every company I can. And yes, you do have to do that. But if somebody knows you and can refer you, if you look at my transitions, you know, when I went to Extensity, which was the company I went to after Autodesk, and to Autodesk, those were both coming in the front door. Nobody knew me. I just had to convince them to hire me. But every job since then, I have had some contact, and this may not help people trying to get internships, but as you advance in your career, you know, you want to nurture the relationships that you have with people, whether it's professors, whether it's people that know you and can say, hey, you should at least look at this person's resume. Like, they're not going to get you the job, but they can get you in the door. So that can help. But every job I've had since leaving Autodesk has had a connection. Somebody knew me and could say, yeah, you should talk to them. And I think, including the one I'm going to now. So that's another important consideration.
All right. Thanks for that piece of advice. I know a lot of students right now and listeners to the podcast may also resonate with the sentiments of the difficulties and, I guess, finding that first internship. And I think that having this sort of experience that, like, I guess coming from a pretty similar place, albeit, like, I guess a bit different of a path, is still, I think, a very, like, valuable perspective, because I know that a lot of uncertainty goes along in the job process. And I think, you know, like in the position of students right now, it's really hard to really see things for what they are. So thank you for that. And I guess just finally, do you have any projects, socials, or anything else you want to plug for the podcast?
So I will say that at Concur, we have not yet posted our internships, and we will be posting internships in the next month or so. So I would advise students to look to the SAP site, look for what we call IXP, which is our intern experience program. And so don't just apply to IXP in general, look for Concur jobs here, assuming you want to stay in the Seattle area for the summer. Hopefully we won't be virtual, we don't know yet, but the IXP jobs will be tagged in the job description, and we'll be posting probably, you know, 10 to 12 software engineering and maybe two or three product management internships here in the Bellevue area, probably within the next month. And so I'd encourage people to look for those and consider applying. I may be leaving the company, but I'm biased. I think our internship program is fantastic. And so I would encourage people, if you can, to consider it.
Perfect. Thank you so much. And we really appreciate you spending your morning here with us. And thank you so much for your time.
Well, it's my pleasure. And hopefully you and others who listen to the podcast will get some value from this.
I think they will. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of How Do I Get Your Job? Be sure to follow us wherever you listen to podcasts. We're also on social media at Soundbite and at The Daily on all platforms.